Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice. What time is it?
Okay.
Getting there. Hi, I'm trying to adjust something. I can't get my stupid little picture to get any bigger. It's like, God.
What picture?
My preview is like a teeny tiny little baby thing, so I can't see what's going on.
I can do this, and this will be on the whole broadcast. Turn on Bone Busters Pinball.
Okay, good.
Mark, you didn't happen to put any news articles in. Okay, you gotta turn that off.
Turn off Bone Busters Pinball.
Here's one. Did you guys look at the name of the episode on YouTube tonight?
It was very long. I told it to my wife, and she's like, "Do you always do that?" I'm like, "No."
I'm just being obnoxious. It's pretty funny, though, in my own mind. As three gentlemen discuss electronic gadgetry, allowing one to interact with a game inside a TV. It's nice and short.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Hi.
Yeah.
I see us.
You're saved by the... Are we up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to turn off my TV. I mean, volume. Sorry about that.
Well, no, I had to... So you're saved from some live gameplay by the fact that that's in the gun range, so there's no reception.
The gun range.
Ah, shit! What the...
Oh, my God. Hold on, I'll fix it. Okay.
I thought you fell.
Is it back? Okay, we're back.
We were never gone.
The new camera to my last camera bit the dust.
It's like, hey, I want you.
Yes. To want me to want you. Wait.
Hey, Mr. Beebody. Hey, Doug Jones. Hey, H.M. Gerard. Hey, D. Norman.
I can't remember.
Christopher Graham.
This is you like one of the old ones.
Huh. Hey, guys. What's going on, Mark? You're totally freaking...
I have like a bar of lights, and this camera is so sensitive. It was like, it could see the light bar right below it. I'm like, what is going on? I'm just not used to it. I think this is good. See my exercise ball? I don't use that, but it goes really well right there.
Sweet.
It holds Omega Race down.
It does. I love Omega Race.
My Omega Race is over there.
What you got? Which one? Oh, I see. Your pit of cocks.
Good grief.
It is a pit of cocks. It's one of two cockpits in the house.
You guys want to do a show or what?
Sure.
All right.
I'm into it. Hey, Joe Drosen.
Wait a second. This happened last week. It's interesting because it kept the volume down. Well, whatever.
Where I live. Run, run, run.
I totally get the joke now from last week, you know, so just wanted to let you know.
You watched it?
Yeah, I did. So I'm like, oh, man, I'm just standing there like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's because, I should have prepped you guys. We just thought Brian was prepped, but we thought it would be funny to catch you off guard, but you don't pay attention. And why would you? Like, why would you be watching the intro to the show? It makes no sense. Thanks for listening in the Arcadosphere. This is Season 5, Episode 3 of the Arcade Radio Podcast. Today is Thursday, December 3rd, 2020, and the time is approximately 7:22 p.m. Central or something. I'm your host, Adam Legal Votes. I'm joined by my co-host, Mark. Better get used to these bars, kid. Shields and Paradise Arcade Shop proprietor and Aladdin's Castle security team lead, Brian Thurston Howell, Armitage III. And joining us tonight, absolutely nobody. It's just us. We're just going to hang tonight, shoot the proverbial crap.
Oh, wait. I'm going to play some Tron.
It's because, you know, well, Brian's got ADD.
Yeah.
And you put him in front of, like, he never plays his games, but, like, we get him on a show, and then he's like, I want to go play some games.
That's not true. I play these games.
Well, okay, let's open this question up to the chat. Oh, good God.
I just put in credits, that's all.
how do you get the marquees not to, you know,
blow out?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's, you can read them.
They're incandescent, and I don't know why. They're just not too bright.
Oh, because they're cabarets.
Cabarets, right, yeah. They're baby games.
Oh, turn on missile command. Watch when mine turns on.
You reminded me. I got a special cabaret. I'm not supposed to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. Whatever.
That's super Nobody bright. Cool. You can't read that.
I told you, right?
What? What'd you get? Oh, you got the one I wanted.
That didn't work.
That's right.
He was like, no, someone else bought it locally. That was like a year ago, though. So tell the story. How did you end up with it?
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by saying I'll save the name of the game for the middle of the story. Okay. Basically, it got passed around like a cheap hoe. A cheap hoe? But a lot of friends did not want to pony up the money, and I was just sort of in a spot where I had not bought a game in a little bit. So it was being brought into town to the same storage facility that my stuff is in. And I got, you know, it was offered to me, and I said, hey, how about 100 less than that? And then they said no. And then I'm like, okay, fine. And I did try some, you know, wheeling and dealing, and that didn't work either. Anyway, yeah, so I paid $2,600, I think, for it. And it's the only one. It's from Japan. Do you know what it is, Adam? Did we already?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Right. You've seen it too, right. So, yeah, Frisky Tom Cabaret from Nichibichu.
Nichibichu.
That was the one Jeff Willard found that, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
And there was that one. I thought there was one other one, wasn't there? There was like two cabarets.
He found yeah, he definitely had several cabinets, but this was the only.
Only Frisky Tom, yeah.
You're right, yeah. Yeah, so there were several, and they were all Japanese.
Why is Frisky Tom so special?
I don't know. I guess it just didn't get a good production run. Was it only a beta-tested game?
Does Frisky Tom scratch your itch?
Well, there is a lady taking a bubble bath in that game. I didn't even know that, so now I guess the game's title makes sense to me. I think I saw a nipple. I'm not sure.
I've been watching Battlestar Galactica.
Was it a slip?
It was just... What? You've been watching Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, the redo that started in 2003.
I would jump straight to Caprica. That's really good. Plus,
the whole first season is amazing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Nope, I never made it into that. I just went straight to Caprica, and then they canceled it, and then I was fine.
Caprica is junk compared to the BSG.
Shut your mouth!
It is. It's a show. Eric Stoltz could have...
It's got alternate Marty McFly in it, damn it.
Yeah. That's the only reason you like it. Eric Stoltz, they could have had a post playing his part, and it would have been better.
No, that Alessandra.
Yeah.
That girl, that's why I watched that.
Yeah. But she was like 12 when that was on.
How dare you? She was she was at least 18. I'll be right back. I gotta Google that just a minute.
He's gonna Google himself now.
Before I start to incriminate myself a little bit more.
Well, I like her in Big Bang Theory. How about that? I know she's an adult there. So.
No. She's in that?
Yeah, she dates Raj, and she has like this white blonde hair.
I've never watched that show. Oh, no, I've watched that show like 4 times.
It's a good show.
I've seen this like 2 episodes, and one of the episodes I've seen like 3 times. Has that ever happened to you where you don't watch a show regularly, and then you just see the same episode over again?
We're watching it now from beginning to end on HBO Max because it's easy to binge with HBO Max.
The episode that I've seen multiple times is the one where Blossom eats ice cream and gets drunk off it. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
No.
You know who Blossom is?
Yeah. That girl that's a neuroscientist or something.
Yeah. Like, she was in a show called Blossom. I know that.
Right.
Because it was on incessantly in the 80s or 90s or something. And she wore hats.
Right. Amy Farrah Fowler is her character on the show.
She's like 100 years old. She's like my age.
I think she's like 40.
Yeah. No. I don't know. She's got to be 15 years older than Sheldon or whatever his name is.
Sheldon's really old.
Oh yeah. Well, they, you know, that's how they do it. They get people that look young to play young people.
Right.
Forever.
Like Alessandra. What's her name? Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
She still had her baby fat, man. Brian, you've been working a lot, not on arcade stuff, but kind of actually.
Well, we've got the Impress stick, the hitbox that we released. And then actually, we just tested out a new product that's kind of fun that will initially be a fight stick thing, but we will do we'll do an arcade version too. So creating these little micro switches that will allow analog output. Hmm. And so the end goal of this, if it works the way that it should, and the testing that was done yesterday actually showed it's likely going to work, we just have to get the voltage ranges correct. You could basically take these micro switches, replace micro switches on a logo stick, and create an analog Atari logo stick.
Mm.
So instead of trying to find one for, you know, 300, 400, whatever those things are selling for now, you could take your standard logo stick and just swap out the four micro switches, use a little add-on board that we have, and it'll be an analog stick.
Hmm.
So pretty excited about that.
Cool.
Yeah, it's got some tech into it that I can't get into too much detail because I haven't filed the provisional patent on it yet.
It's made out of cocaine. Okay, so.
There's little elves in each one, and they, like, you know, you squish their hand, and they, you know, depends on how loud they yell. That's how much, you know. Anyways.
Torsani was 23 years old in Capica. Sorry, back to you.
But I have been playing around the FPGA cap box.
It's 13 years.
23.
Carry the one. Doesn't matter. Just carry it.
She's younger than my wife. It's okay.
Your wife is 16.
Oh, man.
I get heartburn.
Wow. Yes, Joe. It would be a replacement for the Hall Effect stick.
Okay.
So it would allow you to do that. It also, actually, if we set it up properly, would allow you to replace food fight sticks and other things. So it'll be interesting. So cool. It should be kind of fun. Excited about that one. But the FPGA cap box has been the big thing I've been playing with. I just can't get the damn thing to work properly. Like, I'm still playing with it. I've made signature files for Asteroids Deluxe. Yeah, I have been able to successfully test Pokey chips. That is about the extent of which I've gotten it working.
And you got it working Tail Gunner now.
I do. I did not do that, though. That was Ty, who said he'd come on our show sometime. And Ty has some great stories.
I don't do a lot of the work I do. I mean, I do a lot of my own work, but it's still...
I did fix an Asteroids Deluxe board today.
Yeah. Hmm. Hey, you guys, I got word from Rich today that my CPO for Mousetrap is almost done.
Oh, it's, what year was that we talked about? Is that 2-3 years ago, I think. I'm about to get a rental truck, like a 26 footer, and just empty my freaking garage and then select a few games inside of here so that I can have more games to hoard. Because right now I'm full up.
That's funny.
Mousetrap isn't making the cut. Thank you.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Mousetrap's not making the cut?
No, it's gonna get out of here.
You don't like it.
We don't play it. Mine is displaying the screen just a little bit too wide. I can't dial it in with the monitor. I don't know what's going on.
Horizontal width. It's a horizontal width coil. You need to replace it.
No, I've tried it in different monitors that work on other games. There's something with the output.
Huh.
So there's a cap in there. What kind of monitor?
Well, he's saying that it doesn't matter that he put it in another machine and does the same thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that would mean that there could be a capacitor in the video section that's out of whack.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Wah, wah.
We love that game. It's in the other room. When Adam's Arcade reopens.
Go ahead, Brian.
I did figure out a very interesting thing in fixing the Asteroids Deluxus. Like a very simple thing. And I mean, if anybody cares. If you put it into test mode and one of the ROMs is bad, it has no problem with test mode. So if the only thing wrong on the board are your ROMs, you put it in test mode, it'll work. It's supposed to give you the ROM that's bad. It doesn't work that well. But if you flip it into regular mode and it doesn't run at all, but it runs in test mode, I've seen this on two boards now. It's just a ROM failure. An EEPROM failure. So
oh.
So I reburn the EEPROMs and like the thing fires up. But it was, I couldn't find documentation of that failure anywhere. Couldn't find any, like, I mean, the Asterix Deluxe, like a lot of the Atari boards have all those troubleshooting guides. And that was one thing I hadn't found anywhere. And I kept, it was just stumping me. I'm like, how the hell is it going into test mode? It should be showing me the ROMs are bad. And then I started going through testing all the ROM, EEPROMs. And yeah, so if anybody has an Asterix Deluxe that works in test mode but does not work otherwise, EEPROM problem.
Nice.
I'm reading the chat. It's like 15 minutes old, but now I just laughed.
Mousetrap is a good XD game. Pepper 2 kills. That's yo it.
No, I read Nitropolis saying I bang Starbuck from the original series, which is really weird because that's a dude.
Oh, yeah. Is he still alive? I don't think so.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he is? Okay. Yeah. That's nice. I think the other guy.
You're talking about Apollo.
Apollo, right. Very sad story.
He played Tom Zarek on the new series.
Who had the kid named Boxy? Or was Boxy the monkey?
He what? No. The monkey. You mean the dog?
Well, Muffet? It was a dog, but it was a monkey inside, from what I recall. That's
true. Yes. No, Richard Hatch died of pancreatic cancer.
Oh. Rest in peace, Richard Hatch.
Yeah. 2004.
Oh, my goodness.
No. The 2004? That seems a long time ago.
I know, we're old.
I don't think that's right. Okay. I thought it was more recent than
that. I see.
No, wait, it wasn't 2004. The character died in 2004.
Did it?
Yeah.
Because Richard Hatch is dead and Pepper 2 is great.
Yeah.
Got it.
2017. He died 3 years ago.
Check.
I like to have those facts, you know, just, you know, if you're listening to the show and you're like, God, now I have to Google this myself because these yahoos can't be bothered to look it up.
We get fact checked.
Fact checked.
Yep. Well, that just makes me want to play that clip.
Is there a clip or fact check? No,
well, sort of. You know, it's the bumper for, you know, corrections.
Oh, right. Oh, I missed that.
This call will be recorded and monitored. I have a collect call from
Arcade Radio.
An inmate at a San Bernardino County detention facility.
Corrections.
I never did shorten it. It needs to be shortened.
It's good. I like the guitar riffs or whatever you want to call it.
By the way, I have almost a whole new album out, ready to go. 16 tracks.
Oh, my God.
I'm putting some final touches on it.
Are they all acoustic?
No.
You sing?
No. No.
I actually got to do a little
none of
music.
That.
Or, none of it?
Yeah. I mean... But like, the, you know, the songs I play at the end of the show and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I made a whole album of that stuff.
Cool. So that means every end of the show will have a unique end, you know, song. Is that what?
Well, we could. Happen? I mean, we could do that. We could, you know, I'll play one at the end of the show tonight.
We could do like Sweet. Choose Your Own Adventure. The chatter's pick. Which direction do you want to go?
16 tracks. You get one, you know, and they could just guess a number.
I kind of want to show you the one thing I did, but it's hard to figure out where I put it. Oh, I found it. Copy link. How do I get it to you?
In Skype? I don't know.
Put it in the Skype chat? Let's Skype. See if I can do that. Skype. Where's my little... Oh, here we go. Okay, good. I'll just put it here.
Chatty chat.
Yeah. So this stars me and Aaron Sanders, who's also, you know, Arcadiology.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I've seen this.
Did I share this one with you?
Yeah. I've seen this.
Are you sure? I just made it yesterday.
No, I did not see this.
We're
the pinheads. One, two, three. Your hair. Oh, my God. Who is that?
It's kind of Bob.
Okay. You should put that in the chat and let people watch it.
Okay, fine.
That's funny. That's fun stuff. Who is playing the Huey Lewis?
So there's this Japanese guy who did the solo, and so like there's a video where he's just playing the isolated solo part.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing on my keytar the bass guitar part and the keyboard part. It sounds so much like the real thing. I'm like, crap, do I need to like change it a little bit? You know, 'cause it's like too close.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Hey, let's do a segment.
Yeah, let's switch. Yes.
All right. Are you? Whoa, that's loud.
Sounded good for me.
I always felt that the true stars at Atari was engineers.
So, you're an inventor.
Yes, I am.
What have you invented?
A lot of things.
Like?
Like a lot of things. Like things that you've heard of.
Like?
Well, things that you will have heard of, okay? Patents are patented.
Arcade gadgets with
Nice.
It's like a flyby. Just touch and go. Right onto the news. I'm just going to keep going. That's how it's going.
Well, I played a Galaga bumper for you.
That's true. So, yeah, I mean, the biggest news. So, it's funny because this is the time of year when, like, all these retail stores are releasing stuff. And the arcade products have kind of dried up right now. I mean, people are redoing stuff, so people are running sales. But the big news out in the market right now comes out of Crafty Mech, who has finally added Galaga.
Finally? Don't be a jerk. I mean, come on.
So in all fairness, about a year ago, year and a half ago, the Updown guys came and said, our Galagas are dying. Like, we can't keep them going. We hate the 16-1s. We need a good solution. And I was called Aaron. I'm like, you got to put Galaga on the BitKit.
Yeah, but
if you put Galaga on the BitKit, all these guys are going to convert when their boards die.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he also has other games on there that shall not be mentioned because who knows what could happen to him.
That is true. That is true. But those games tend to have boards that people can fix reasonably well, whereas the Galaga actually is. So a lot of the stuff that what I've really admired about what Aaron's done is he's picked some games that are really unique, interesting games, aren't that common, emulate them incredibly well. I mean, amazingly well.
Well, it's three platforms, right? You get the platforms right, you can run whatever games run.
You can, but that is the interesting thing about Galaga is Galaga really is a platform in and of itself.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else runs on that platform. So to do that is really kind of almost a service to the arcade community to really do that in FPGA properly. Because now, like, you can actually, your custom chips go, you're having problems with your board stack, you've got a way to play the game, play it accurately. And one of the big differences between, is what Aaron does and what, say, the Mr. Project does. And the Mr. Project really is an amazing project, is Aaron takes the time to go through and really isolate down each little nitpicky aspect of the game and get it done properly. A lot of the Mr. stuff, some of it is done really well, and some of it is kind of, yeah, it's close enough. And Aaron, close enough is not, I mean, he's very tedious about how much, how perfect it needs to be. But anyways, so if you got a BitKit, you can actually add this on. Good news is that if you have one of the old BitKits, he is going to be releasing a memory enhancement module so that you'll be able to add more platforms, more games onto it. I believe the original one was two platforms you could pick, correct? Nice.
Three.
And there are three. Well, I think there's one that is fixed because right. The menu system is built on it, and then two that you can pick, and he now has four platforms.
Right. I think it's the scramble platform that you have to run since the menu system builds on it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, really, it was well done. So, congratulations. Thank you.
He won't be doing the module for some time, but he's going to offer the service of, it's going to be $40. Send your old BitKit in and he'll do it. I'm going to send my old one in January.
Time to sell your old BitKits, everybody.
Yeah, well, they'll work. They just don't have the Bluetooth. Actually, I've got a BitKit running right here on my Miss Pac-Man. Yep, not that Miss Pac-Man would be on a BitKit.
I bought the another BitKit on Black Friday.
There was it was like super cheap, right? $119 or something?
$129.
Oh, $129.
I mean, the price dropped to $149 anyway, so it's a really good deal. And then it dropped to $129 for sale. I actually got my buddy Eric, who's not even really an arcade guy, but has my old 1943 machine with a JAMA in it. I got him to buy a BitKit because of Black Friday.
It's a really well done kit. I mean, so when he first started out, the first set of games were interesting. It's getting to the point now where he's really done some nice work with it.
Yeah.
So
it's insane just how flexible it is. Like,
well,
And it's just easy. Like, and even out of the box now, you can plug that thing in, and it comes with a couple of games on it.
Right.
So you can play it, like, right out of the box.
Well, and what's kind of cool about it is that people in the past have talked about, you know, they've released platforms that are similar and said, hey, we're going to add games. And I'm not trying to really negative talk about anybody else, but Aaron stuck with it. Like, he's legitimately adding games. He's legitimately making the system better. I mean, when he first started, he said, I've got a platform and we're going to build on it. And he's sticking with it. Yeah. So, and just keeps getting better and better. So I really can't say enough about him. No, it does not have Fortnite Metropolis.
God, Metropolis.
He's like totally anti-disestablishmentism.
It could probably have Night Driver, but that's not there yet. So just
Night Driver.
Do you like Night Driver?
I love Night Driver.
The classic one. You know, yep. I want the long sit down.
Yeah.
Whatever the
plastic.
The plastic one. Yeah. Is it plastic?
Yeah.
The back is right. Is the whole thing? Is it fiberglass or plastic?
I thought it was plastic. Gary had a few of those sitting in a trailer that was falling apart for a while. I remember seeing those 15, 20 years ago and thinking, I don't know what the hell I'd do with that. it's like at that point in collecting career or, you know, collection or hobby or whatever, where you're like, ooh, Miss Pac-Man. And what is that big plastic black hunk that I'd have to haul out of that trailer? So... Actually, there is one more product that we are announcing, should be out in the next week or two. We have one part of this done. We don't have the other part. I don't think I've talked about this before. We made the rivets for the they weren't technically the rivets. We made little screws for Midway doors.
Oh yeah.
And so for those of you who've gotten replacement plates for Midway doors, I actually had custom screws made with short little basically flathead nuts, so that you can recreate the rivet look but not have a rivet gun. And so it's these small little cap head stainless steel, basically carriage bolts with, like, I think it's like a like a number 2 threading on them. And I made the nuts on the back with a flathead and then short enough so they sit inside the little raised metal on the inside. Fits the doors perfectly. We are going to be doing metal plates at some point, but... we haven't gotten there yet. These little screws should be up on the site within the next week or two, and they really do look exactly like the original Midway rivets.
Do you have the plates in stock yet, or are you still doing samples?
No, well, so I have, in order to get them done, I had to buy a couple thousand.
Oh.
And we do have them, and it's funny, because, I mean, I ordered something like 10,000.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Screws, and, like, the nuts, I got, like, 2,500 of them. And it came in they're really small, right? So it came in a box that's like smaller than a medium flat rate priority box.
Yeah.
It's like, but yeah, and they are it is a number 2. It is really small. They're done in stainless, so they won't rust. We've tested them out. We've screwed them down pretty hard. They work really well. So sweet. I'm really happy with them.
I'm excited about that, because then you can reuse your old plate if you want.
You can reuse the old plate, and once we get the printer, the big thing that we're trying to do now is select the right aluminum, and I haven't been able to find an aluminum that has the same appearance as the original doors. We've gotten brushed, we've gotten plain, and getting that grain perfect I'm really shooting for, but what I want to do is with the printer, we have the ability to change the printing on there, and so we'll be able to do the classic ones that'll look just like they did originally, but we'll also be able to do custom messages on there.
Yeah, we mentioned this on another show, but yeah. I really want my Bally Midway to say, instead of, you know, video is our game or our business is fun, I want it to say, what did we decide on?
Slob on my knob? Oh, wait, no. That was, no.
Slob on my knob. Just yell it into the mic again, because that was hilarious.
I thought you wanted Don't Stop Believing on your journey.
I think that's what I was going to, you know. I mean, that's the most recognizable lyric.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be great.
Plus, it's very arcade. There's a lot of stuff
you can do with it.
Yeah. So. Sweet. Well, all right.
It's the Arcade News with Adam Stevens.
I interrupted myself. That's pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
So The funny thing is, I think we did one of these already. No,
I checked last week.
Yeah, but
I rewatched the episode just to figure it out.
No, but I mean, we talked about the Outrun.
Oh, I made you talk about one. Sorry.
Yeah. So we talked about the Generation X Outrun arcade game. We talked about how, you know, 1UP is allegedly making this sit down Outrun, which is really just an Outrun mini with a tiny little bench, right?
That sounds right.
It's they have this great picture of this guy sitting on one, going, "It's super comfortable," and he's like this.
Yeah, I've been sitting on it for like 20 seconds.
It's so comfortable. Yes,
it fits perfectly.
Yeah,
it's could go nothing. 5 minutes.
Yeah, let's try the, you know, I don't know. It's got a couple other games on it. Anyway, we talked about it. So
like
from
Andre the Giant driving a mini.
Yeah, from MediaPlayNews.com, arcade game doc, Insert Coin is now available on the Alamo Draft House On Demand channel. Is that a thing?
I think you have to go to a web page to get to it.
Okay. So Alamo Draft House is streaming Insert Coin. Cargo Film and Releasing's arcade game documentary Insert Coin was released on November 25th. Alamo Draft House On Demand. So the film is the behind-the-scenes story of the video game studio Midway Games, led by the godfather of video games, Eugene Jarvis. Really? These guys just make up their own names, right? I mean, so
are you sure he's the godfather? I'm sure he's like the uncle, like the fun uncle.
Yeah, I'm going to say the fun uncle of video games, Eugene Jarvis.
Yes.
Because, I mean, isn't Nolan Bushnell supposedly like the father?
Correct.
But really, he's not. It's Ralph Baer. Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
Ralph Baer.
It's like those guys that invented light bulbs, but Thomas Edison gets to take the credit for it.
Sure. I don't think that's true. All right. So from GamePer.com, which it sounds like if I were searching for that, I'd end up on some sort of porn site. But where to find all the arcade machines in Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War? What is this even? I don't understand what's happening here. Recent Call of Duty entries have included classic Activision arcade games as little bonuses inside the game. And Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War takes this one step further. I think this is kind of old news, isn't it?
No, they just added these 10 games last at the end of last month.
Oh, they're adding new games into their little arcades. Oh, I see. That's funny. So throughout the single-player campaign missions, you'll find arcade cabinets as Easter eggs. You can play these games during the missions. If you don't feel a sense of urgency for whatever reason, you can stop off and play a little Pac-Man. Yeah. Or you can play them back at your base of operations. So that's actually kind of fun. So finding and unlocking all 10 of these arcade games will unlock one of the 6 campaign Dark Ops challenges, which I am so looking forward to.
Do you play Call of Duty? I mean, that's the only game I play on Steam.
No.
Let's all get it, and let's try to kill each other. Come on.
You know, I don't play games where there's a pecking order. I can't. It's just not my...
I don't have a pecking order. I have not leveled up in any way. I am a terrible level wherever I am. I remember John Jacobson was like, "Yeah, I can't play with you. You haven't leveled up." And I'm like, "F you, John Jacobson."
I used to love FPSs when they were like a free for all, like Unreal Tournament and Quake 2, and, you know, way back when. And then I actually like Battlefield 1942, Battlefield 2. I liked all those too. But as soon as they added, like, you have rank and you got to level up, and I don't want it to be like real life. I mean, if I wanted to be like real life, I'd just join the freaking army, you know?
No, you don't want to do that. That's a terrible
idea. I mean,
worst idea.
It's not fun. I like fake weapons that blow people up. The BFG is the best gun ever made in a game.
Yes. I like the railgun. The railgun's my favorite.
Oh, come on. That build up.
I love the railgun. Especially, there was like a room in Quake 2 where you were like in the circular room.
Yeah.
And there was no exit. And you just got and there was nothing but railguns.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. There's mods for that stuff.
Let's go do it.
Arena. That was
fine. Quake 2 railgun room. Boom. I'm going to kill you there.
By the way, I have a full dump of Quake 2 from years ago. With all of the mods that we used to play, if you want a dump of it.
Okay, fine.
It's all preloaded. You just go. Drop in your profile and bam, you're ready to play.
I'm ready.
I have a full dump too.
Oh, boy.
I'm saving my full dump for after the show.
Anyway, the games that are in this Call of Duty are Pitfall 2, Lost Caverns, Enduro, Barnstorming. Oh, these are Atari 2600 games. Fishing, yep. Grand Prix, Pitfall. They're not arcade games. River Raid, Chopper Command, Boxing, and last but not least, Kaboom. Kaboom. Oh,
they're in arcade games when you're playing them, so it's sort of like that fine line.
Yeah.
It's well, like, let me. Is this play choice really playing a unique game, or am I on a
Nintendo? A lot cheaper to license those titles than real arcade titles. So, Chatters, of those Atari 2600 games, which ones would you say are, which one is would you say the best? They have Pitfall 2, Lost Caverns, Enduro, Barnstorming, Fishing, Grand Prix, Pitfall, River Raid, Chopper Command, Boxing, and Kaboom.
Get back to the chopper!
Get to the chopper!
He was skinned alive.
That's pretty good.
Brian, get to the chopper. Jones made a arcade version of Kaboom.
Yeah, cabaret-ish, right?
Yep.
That's
like a sort of a Atari cabaret style.
Yep. And while we're waiting for the Chatters to answer, this is kind of cool. Susan found this. So Rapala Honey Hole Pub. So the guy that built this house is the guy who started Rapala. So anyways, kind of a neat. We've got
and he's Rapala. Buried in the walls.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
No, it's under the floor in this room. Come on.
That's his blood in the ceiling. Wait.
Honey hole. I wouldn't hold on, say I've that.
Got, I have to mute.
Oh, no.
Honey hole. Yeah,
that's
we got.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like Honey Hole is kind of a funny name. Anyways.
Yo Eddie, I'm going to have to agree with Yo Eddie. I like Kaboom and River Raid are awesome. I don't know why they would put like Pitfall 2 in there. Because Pitfall 1 is not fun. I don't know. I like Pitfall.
I like Pitfall. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Wait, Pitfall 2 is an arcade game, though, isn't it?
Pitfall 2 was.
But it was yes. It was made after the 2016, right? We should look that up.
I believe so.
We should look that up. Pitfall 2. Let me Google this for our listeners. Okay.
All right. Googling.
Okay, Pitfall 2 is a platform video game originally released on the Atari 2600 in 1984. So, I don't see anything about arcade. Let me do a find here.
Yes, the anticipation.
I can feel it. Sega in 1985 released Pitfall 2 with a different visual style. And then it was ported to the SG-1000 console, which is like the Master System, right? Fact check.
I never had that. I was just like on ColecoVision for 7 sad years.
Oh, man. That,
yeah.
Well, they wouldn't have, the SG-1000 games were not released in America. Well, some of them. Not all. Like Monaco GP was released for the SG-1000. No.
Do you have a Monaco GP?
I have 2 Monaco GPs.
Dang it. Isn't that game all like there's no ROMs?
Discrete like logic.
Discrete logic. That's wild.
Discrete logic.
I mean, it just whispers to talk when it goes to talk to you. So.
Do you guys hear ringing? Do you guys hear ringing?
Crying? What did you say?
I don't know. I'm not going to talk about that right now. So, don't you just love that? And like right now, somebody's like, come on, talk about it. Because whatever it is, it's got to be more interesting than what you're talking about right now, you asshats.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Back to the cave with Time Runner.
Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
So today we're going to talk about another TV game show that sort of was, well, it's gone now, like most TV game shows that featured arcade games or video games. This one was weird. I actually got to participate in it. It was, let's talk about it. It was called TV Kid Pow.
TV Kid Pow?
Yeah, do you remember TV Kid Pow?
No, I don't remember it at all.
It was on Independent Channel, so let's see. So basically... it was like an independent channel video game you could play, and this producer, Marvin Kempner, came up with the idea to franchise this. It was an interstitial program, so it would have been in between shows, and he thought that it was a promising idea, and what he wanted to do was make television shows interactive, and then... executing that concept, though, in the 70s and 80s, he actually kind of used existing things to do it. So what he came up with was using a home video game system, which the first one was the Fairchild Channel F.
Nice.
Yes. And then eventually he used Mattel's Intellivision, which is hilarious. And basically he jury-rigged them for voice activation. He used games where the only thing you did was fire. And that allowed viewers to call in and play the game live by shouting POW into the phone receiver to make the action happen. So basically, you know, you start the game and then I bet you could have said anything. You could have said dork, you know, or whatever, and it would have fired the button. It had no idea. It was so this whole gameplay thing was packaged like a dialing for dollars style, which is another thing that, you know, people used to do as an interstitial between shows. Do you remember dialing for dollars?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's not coming back. I'm just going to tell you right now. Yeah. So basically, tons of existing local TV stations did this with their own hosts. I did it here in Houston on Channel 39 KHTV, and I did it twice actually. Once with the Fairchild game, and then once with the Intellivision.
Oh,
game.
Really? You did it with the Fairchild?
I did, and I think I have the Intellivision game version. I recorded it, and it's on VHS. I tried to figure out where it is. It's not in my little stash of VHS tapes. It's in storage in Conroe, but I'll try to get that out and, you know, scan it into the computer.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about what playing the Fairchild was like? Were you frustrated?
Well, it was very basic.
Yeah. Cause it just has like a stick with a button on the top.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I was using the phone, I didn't realize it was a Fairchild. So it's like, yeah. Exactly. That was at the station, and it had been rigged. Like, instead of using a joystick, they had come up with some actuator that listened to the audio to decide when to hit the button.
Wow.
So I'd watch it on live TV and play over the, you know, on the phone. So, you know, there's lag, by the way, when you're doing it this way.
That's crazy.
Live TV is pretty instant. And thus concludes your learnings about
this. Hey, did we get flagged last week? I don't even check.
We did not. We're up. We're great. Sweet.
That's awesome, because these good, splits are...
I got from the same selection of stuff.
Awesome. So I think now's the time when we ask.
What's in the juke?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the season 5 edition of What's in the Juke? It's within a podcast. Today we'll be playing theme songs from random 1980s TV shows. Guess the name of the show and you will receive
a kick to the face.
Half point. Correct. Guess at least one main character's name, or if you can't think of who created the show, because there's certain one of these where you're going to be like, I don't know. but not the actor, but actually we don't care. We'll give you points. And you will receive
half point.
Yes, but if you guess both that TV show name and that main character's name, you will receive
full point.
Correct. If you don't know either one, just fight it amongst yourselves. Now that the fighting is over, let us begin.
I never get tired of that.
That is good stuff.
All right, I don't know how loud these are, so I'm going to start them off. Here we go.
Corey Hart.
Here's your first clip. Oh, yeah, that's great. I absolutely love this show. I still like it. It's cheesy as hell. And I still
did
love
a season of it on Apple TV, and it is amazing.
A new season?
Yes!
Of a new show?
Yes, they brought it back.
But it's exclusive to Apple TV.
Yeah, well, I've had
to get it. Is it Spielberg?
It is. Oh, you're going to get a half point. I'm putting it down. Adam.
Half point.
Nice.
Good job, Adam. I think this is the first time you've ever scored on the game.
I thought you were just going to stop, but it's the first time you've ever scored.
Nice. Well, I mean, there's... No comment.
I love that.
The guesses in the chat are terrible. They think it's the Smurfs, Golden Girls, Dynasty. No.
90210.
I will get it.
Nope, it is.
This is the best. I mean, I love this so much.
John Williams did this theme. You know what's funny is that in the original version of the show, there's like an Indian and he's like telling stories to people. I always thought that Indian was Johnny Carson because he looks exactly like Johnny Carson.
It's funny.
It's probably not, you know.
Well, you see here, that's there was an airplane and.
Okay. Of our 20 callers, nobody could figure it out.
Okay.
Oh, wait, Doug Jones got it.
Amazing stories. Good job, Doug. Welcome to the show, Doug. And okay, he was here at the beginning. But here we go. The next track might be out of order, but here we go.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
They look good, whatever they are. There's like three of them, I think.
I love this show better than the movies.
Somebody said Love Boat. No!
It's not Love Boat. It's Debbie not Love Dallas. Boat.
No.
Charlie's Angels is correct, Mr. Peabody.
Half point.
All right, that's awesome.
Anybody going to try for a character on the
character
show?
Character or an actress?
Or, yes. It took me a while to figure out the one.
Which one is that?
Well, you know, what's funny is that it's in the show notes, but what would be funny is if you could call Alexa this name instead, because, you know, they were always talking to this character through a speaker.
Oh, yeah, that would be, we should write them. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Joe Drosen got it. Bosley.
Well, Bosley, Charlie is who they talked to the speaker. Bosley was the.
Oh, he was their buddy.
He was their buddy.
You're right. So Charlie technically would have been a person.
But Charlie,
Joe Drosten, like you know, must be like minds with me.
I like how the show is sort of supposed to advance women in like television and make them like starring roles and characters. And at the end of every episode, Charlie's like womanizing and has like 18 women in his hot tub.
Right. Damn it, Charlie.
I know. He just
they show you Charlie. No, they never showed you. They just show you with his hand on the mic, yeah, or something.
Or like he had a glass in his hand. In the very first episode, they'd show like bits of him off camera. All right. Here comes your next track. Oh, man. This show used to be on, and I... Every show now that this guy did is ruined.
I know. It's the rapist. Wait, no. Oh, no.
Yep. Hugh Hefner style. You're right, Mike Leek. That's exactly what they put Charlie with. So it is not Debbie Does Dishes, you Eddie. Nice. I think that he just wants us to say these on the air. S1500 is in it for a half point. And can you name a character or an actor from the show?
I'm going to say Steve Taki got it with Cosby.
All right. What about Fat Albert? Mike Page got Fat Albert. Maybe he was talking about the character. You had to say Fat Albert. How do we know?
I'm going to give Mike Page a point, too.
Okay, sounds good.
Half point.
Half point for those fellas. There's a real fight going on in here. Let's see who wins. All right. Here comes your...
Everybody's tied.
Nobody's tied. Next track.
Oh, wait. Oops. They just spoil it right at the beginning.
I know. Like, oh, God.
You know, what's funny is the first season of this show, they played Rock Around the Clock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they had an extra brother that they got rid of because they just didn't like him. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Well, hey, even more importantly, do you know what show was a spinoff? Actually, three shows were spinoffs.
Yes, I do. I know all three of them.
We'll talk about them after the next couple of tracks.
Right.
Fonzie, Happy Days. We got a Happy Days in the jukebox way up top. Who was that?
I think it's...
Mr. Peabody?
Mr. Peabody, yep.
Mr. Peabody, and then he also got Fonzie. So he gets a full point.
My God, taking the lead.
Bam! He's just all over this now. Okay, here comes your next track.
Joni loves Chachi.
Yeah, they got all the spinoffs in the chat.
It's 8:18. You can't drink anymore, Mark.
Oh, it's almost done. Oh, I finished it actually.
You didn't even know he finished it. This is gonna another one. You can drink.
It's
wine.
Okay. I just start again at after like 12 o'clock tomorrow at noon.
You just start
so like if I went over 18 minutes, then I'll just wait till 12:18 tomorrow.
And Steve Taki got this pretty high up.
Doug Jones, Laverne and Shirley, Laverne and Shirley. Oh, yeah, Steve Taki got it. Yeah.
Well done. Anybody else try to come up with a, let's see, Steve Taki? I guess we could give it to Yo Eddie since he said Laverne.
Sure. Why not?
He's not even on the board yet. Let's do it.
All right. You get a half point for that.
Half point.
Sweet.
Half point.
All right. Yeah. Your spinoffs are Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, and didn't Squiggy and Lenny have their own show too?
They did not. Yeah. But they were in another show though.
What show was that?
I don't remember.
Dang it. Now we have to Google again. We got to stop doing it. Damn it.
I don't think it was even.
It's got a good bumper sound for spinoff.
That sounds like a bad Tempest spinner. By the way, I ordered new bushings for my Tempest spinner.
It's the spinoff.
I got brass bushings because you need brass bushings.
Yeah, this has a little bit of wobble to it.
The brass bushings.
I'm playing with my spinner right now.
Oh, God, not on the air.
Just keep it up here.
Why am I getting a notification to install software at 8:30 at night? 20. Okay, Little House on the Prairie. Here's the next clip.
What?
Did you just...
That's not how the game works.
Laura Ingalls Wilder.
With the last... Yeah, okay. All right,
You haven't... You haven't been drinking?
Hey, I got a point.
Full point.
Adam, 1.5 points. Tied with Mr. Peabody.
Yes.
How did you figure that out?
Finally.
Adam has the list in front of him, and he's tied, finally.
He does have to.
Okay, here comes your next track. Suicide is Painless.
Ah, God dang it. Oh, wait, that's not the question. So that's the show.
That's all I need.
The lyric version of this is very depressing.
So sad. And Marilyn Manson did a version, also very dark.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so not Saint Elsewhere. Sorry. Good guess, though.
Oh, come on.
That was last week. Doug Jones.
Doug Jones.
The big winner.
It is MASH. One of the best TV shows ever made.
So IMO. My friend bought Radar's Bear, by the way.
Oh, cool. Like on an auction?
Yeah. So Brad Holman got the, up above. Who got it first? Doug Jones got it, and then
Steve Taki got it.
I think we should give Mike Leake a point for proper formatting.
Steve Taki got it because he put Radar.
Half point.
For all those guys.
So my buddy bought Radar's Bear at an auction, and evidently the actor, and I don't remember the, I don't remember his name, but he wasn't very well off at the time. And so he contacted him and gave him the bear back. Like, it was kind of a neat thing. Got to go meet him. You know, it was pretty cool. So.
Oh, cool.
And this is definitely scotch, not apple juice.
Mm. Nice. So here's an interesting thing. In the beginning of MASH, you see these two helicopters with bubbles in front of them.
Yep.
Yep.
And so I didn't really tell you this, but in August, I tried to buy one. I don't fly a helicopter.
That's hilarious.
But somebody had refurbed it and then made it for sale. But apparently I was just my low ball was just not going to work.
Mm. I have about 8 hours of helicopter flight lessons.
Oh, awesome.
I can fly it home for you. I can't land it, but I'll get it to your house.
Right.
I have about 10,000 hours in helicopter.
Do you really?
Yeah. In Battlefield 2.
Oh.
With the mod.
Here, I'll paste that into the Skype so you guys can look at it later. I'll figure it.
Here comes your next track.
Yes.
I love that song.
It's classic.
Did we already do The Greatest American Hero? We did. It was the first show.
We did. That was last week. We've done it twice, technically, if you count other seasons where we've used the song.
Yeah, it's a great song. Yes. Believe it or not. Helicopter prices are sky high. Sanford and Son is...
Mr. Peabody.
Correct. Nice.
Half point.
And do we have a character out of that? Like Sanford?
Yeah, Joe Drosten said Sanford. That's kind of cheap. I picked Lamont as my example, but...
Red Fox would work, too.
Sure.
So give, Brad Holman a half point for that. Why not?
Do it.
Half point.
Sure. Okay. Next track.
switch is on. Okay, Victor. Landing rocket
Victor.
Arm, switch is on. Here comes the throttle.
What's your Victor, Victor?
We have separation.
Roger.
Inboard and outboard, they're on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Oh, looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout. Hammer 3.
Get your pitch to zero.
Pitch is out. I can't hold altitude.
Correction. Alpha hold is on. Trim selected. Emergency.
Flight calm. I can't hold it. She's breaking up. She's breaking...
Ow!
Steve Austin, astronaut.
So good. That yep, just brings back
$6 million dollar man goes to Doug Jones.
Half point.
And we got a character in there somewhere, like maybe Steve Austin. Oscar Goldman, Doug Jones.
Half point. Full point.
Is that right?
Whoa, that sounded a little struggling.
Sweet. Oscar Goldman. That is first and last name, Doug, man. DJ, way to go. All right. Here comes your last track. My parents used to watch this. I was too young.
I don't know why we didn't watch it, but it's a good comedy.
It's a great show. And what an awesome... It's funny because this particular track and Sanford and Son... You can tell that my tracks for the intro to this show over the last 4 years have been influenced by those. It is Taxi, and it looks like Mr. Peabody got it.
Yep.
And DeVito was Steve Taki, so half point for both of those guys.
Mike Gleek, you're doing it wrong. You don't type, oh, I know this, then the answer.
Gleek. Lotka.
Maybe he's got a macro for that. Oh, I know this.
I like that, you know, this obviously starred Christopher Lloyd, who was in Back to the Future.
Yep.
Just such a crazy character role for him.
It was really the launch pad for Danny DeVito as well, because prior to that, and actually both DeVito and Christopher were in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest prior to that.
Yep.
So.
I need a rewatch.
That's it. I guess they made a sequel series to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Ratchet?
Nest. Yeah, Nurse Ratched. She is evil. I had never seen that movie until this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
I
watched
that's
it.
Awesome.
And it was super depressing.
That's awesome. So you saw that, and then you also saw Phantom of the Paradise, I know, earlier this year.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm going to watch
that. We haven't
even
talked about that.
We should have a group viewing of that. We could do an arcade radio viewing. Yeah. We could. I think there's a way to do that.
You're not allowed to do Zoom anymore.
Huh?
What? You're not allowed to do Zoom anymore.
I'm not the one who whipped out my Willy.
Yeah, yeah.
That. You disappeared when he whipped out the Willy. You're like, I'm out.
I wasn't even there. I was gone before he even.
You're like, let me see who I can cancel. Kick out of here.
It wasn't even a pretty penis.
It's uncircumcised, blonde, something or other.
It's terrible.
And if there were any female listeners, they've just. Abandoned
Goodbye,
the show.
Heather.
The one listener, and by the way, where the hell is Dolly?
I don't know.
She hasn't been around in a while. She's out running too much.
Yeah, well, but Casey's not on either. They're going on vacation anyway.
Hey, so let me tell you the results of this debacle here.
That sounds good.
Mr. Peabody squeaked it out with 2.5 points. And Doug Jones and Steve Taki with 2 points, second place. And then last place was Adam with 1.5 points. Congratulations, Adam, you placed.
Oh, that's so awesome.
So feel free, Adam, to take, you know, any of the prizes that you see in your room.
Okay. I'm going to take the APV, the Dig Dug, and the Missile Command. What the hell? I might as well throw on Starry Football as well.
Hey, is that a mirror to your right over there? Is that what's happening?
To my right, over here.
Yeah, what, there's a picture frame up against the wall that I think is a mirror, is it?
So Deborah Foreman. I'm just going to say Deborah Foreman. I've already told you what that is. It's a window.
Oh, it is a window. Well, I don't, it really looks like a...
Into your soul.
You asked me on the first episode what that thing to my right was.
I still can't figure it out. Okay, so I'm going to lock that in with Deborah Foreman. By the way, I am constantly watching Deborah Foreman cameos now. So there's no way I'm going to forget who she is.
She's pretty funny. She's like a religious nut, though.
As long as she doesn't talk about it, as long as she doesn't talk about it in her cameo, I'm okay.
I don't know if religious nut is the right word for it. She's not like Kirk Cameron.
No, I mean, she's not a total nut. She's just kind of a goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wants to bless you. I guess that's not so bad.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with that? Maybe you'll live longer.
Like, that's maybe. It's probably maybe. Not going to happen.
Hey, come on. Let's go for it.
I keep losing the show notes, but I've got them now.
I just remembered a very important fact.
What's that?
This computer is sitting on top of my Tempest, but my Tempest has a Clay Calgo kit, so I think I'm going to play some Vector Breakout tonight.
Breakout.
I wish I had that.
Clay Cowgill needs to make that available again somehow.
Yeah. I heard a rumor that Clay might be working on something.
Nice.
Whatever.
Well, he's working on the pole position thing with Adam, you know, in slow motion. So.
No, I heard there's something else going on that's kind of cool that might be coming out.
Okay. Good. So. Good. We need stuff.
Some Vector love.
Okay.
Until I can get my vaccine, I'm going to be like, I'm ready for this.
You guys ready for a voicemail?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for calling 612-548-GAME. This is Arcade Radio. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hey, everybody. It's your buddy, Bob Zarzadek, control panel expert and technician. Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Hey, get off the phone.
Hey, who is here? Get out of here. I'm using this phone right now.
You shut up and hang up.
Oh, man, just come on. I'll whip your ass.
I'd like to see you cry. Damn it.
Hold on. Let me get my pistol out, okay? Just wait right here. Hey, guys, I got to go, okay? I don't know. If somebody came over here. I'm going to start a fight. I'll tell you what happens next week. Bye. Okay.
Was he in a phone booth?
I have no idea.
He's at the Walmart in the phone booth, in the half-height phone booth.
And he had to use a pencil to get in a fight?
I don't know. That's weird.
Is he going to write something down? Or?
I think I say wow. That's weird on almost every Bob Zarzadek. Oh, I think.
I know. We should like play Adam's like immediate reaction to all of the Zarzadek calls.
Sometimes
that should be fun.
That'd be actually, an intro.
Yeah. That was weird. What was that about?
There goes the booing, the passing booing crowd.
Hey, we're at 399 subscribers, guys. So yeah, if any of you guys listening have not subscribed, please do that so that we can push that number up.
It'd be the 400.
And we do respect subscriptions from dead people. We don't discriminate. Yes. So, you know, I mean, if you got a dead person that wants to sign up, we're 100% on that.
That's a legal vote with us.
Yeah.
It's a legal vote. Would you cut that shit out?
What?
I'm drinking cask strength scotch, so.
Nice.
Cask. Cask.
Casket strength. Oh, no.
There we go. Yeah.
Hey, I did do one other arcade thing last week. I bought a new old stock. Space Invaders bezel off eBay, but it turns out it was local, so I just went and picked it up.
What was that like? Did you mask up?
Oh, he just put it on the side of his garage. Oh, we all know who it is. It's Ross Mackey.
Oh, Ross. Oh, I see.
I did buy a few games.
Did you?
I see.
Again? I thought you said you weren't buying anymore.
Well, no, I had a budget. I kind of blew the budget, but I bought a Blasted.
Wish I had.
Oh, wow. I have a budget. A budget.
And I bought an Interstellar.
Oh yeah, saw that. That looks nice. How's your potential new store going? You know,
oh, it's up. The sign is up.
Nice.
It's like it's all together. It's actually kind of funny because it's on a profit share. It's basically free storage.
Did you guys take a picture of the sign?
I got to do that.
So it's a great deal. I mean, we're at the mall. We've got I think about 150 to 180 machines in there now.
Are they working?
Yes, they're all working. And Demon Norman, I did pick up, and I'm going to shoot Adam for this, a Defender and a Defender cocktail, but that's another story.
I thought we talked about that already.
Yeah, well, that happened, and that person, and we're not going to talk about that on the air. But the, so we got this space, we got all the games in there, and it's kind of like they're not organized right now, so it's just like, looks like this, you know. Like, there's, like, a corral of arcade games. They're all wandering around aimlessly right now. Right. And they're slowly moving into position. I have a feeling we're going to get them all in position. And then, like, 2 months later, they'll be like, all right, you're out. So it's technically a six-month profit share as the existing lease. We can renew, but the renewal is kind of subject to both parties wanting to do something. And I think the mall is basically looking at it going, if we're making money off you, we'll let you stay. If we're not, you're out. But it's not a huge amount of space because it's in an old green mill. So we don't use the kitchen. However, there is one very cool feature for the fighting game crowd. There's a giant walk-in refrigerator.
No.
And so their walk-in refrigerator is all white tiles. So have you ever seen the scene from Street Fighter with the sumo wrestler?
Yeah.
Where like the whole background is like a white-tiled Japanese bathhouse?
Yeah.
So we're basically making that room look like a Japanese bathhouse and putting all the fighting games in there.
What?
So it's kind of cool. So that's kind of fun. We've got a big sign. There's like a sign in one part that's in the video game. We're having that sign recreated on the wall. So we're doing some fun stuff like that. But I mean, overall, it's kind of tough because there's a full service kitchen that we're just not using. It's literally our like storage game area, and it's not a very effective storage game area.
Right.
So, but the Starcade sign went up today, which is cool. We'll see if it ever actually opens with all the COVID stuff going on, but the sign is up and the games are in and the power is run and we're ready to go.
Hey, do you have to wear masks?
What is it? Oh, go ahead. What's that?
Do you have to wear masks?
So, yeah. So we've gotten some questions online. And, you know, the last thing we want to do is make the games a political statement. And so we are going to obey all either executive orders. I said we're going to obey all laws and ordinances. And somebody said, if the governor says it's this, it's not a law or an ordinance, it's an executive order. I'm like, fine, we'll follow all executive orders. But it's, you know, so the idea is that we will definitely have masks. We'll definitely be following all the COVID safety guidelines. We're not opening right now. We won't be opening anytime in the next 3 weeks, according to Minnesota guidelines. When we do open, we'll have limited attendance. We'll likely be selling admission ahead of time, so you kind of book your visit. And then masks will be required. We've actually debated making gloves required. We've gone back and forth on that. Hmm. And the idea being is that if you have people wearing, we thought if you get black gloves, you have people that are using the machines and they're wearing gloves, it's kind of an extra barrier between people. And then we just make them openly available. The problem with that, and this was brought up by a couple people, is that, you know, the games are a tactile experience and wearing gloves does create a barrier to that. And so the question is, you know, can we do this with hand sanitizer and washing machines? You know, where's the balance of what we can do to be appropriate? So that's still up for debate. Masks are not up for debate.
I think hand sanitizing lanyards so that you just squirt a little bit before you start the game and then when you finish the game.
You know, that's a great idea. We hadn't actually talked about that. I think that's a really good idea. And since it's not, you know, last spring, we could actually get hand sanitizing lanyards.
Right. That would be cool. I actually had a weird dream about them. I don't know why, but my sanitizing lanyard kept spilling on me. I don't know what it means. I was playing arcade games, but you know, I was like, it's the future and I'm always wearing this and it's right here.
Mr. Peabody said, just put love gloves over the joysticks. That would kind of work for some of the games.
That is true.
So, and the fun thing is my tail gunner, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, is done. So that is going to be going into the arcade. So we will actually have War of the Worlds tail gunner, yeah, Speed Freak, all on public play, free play, which is pretty crazy. And Warrior, eventually. Warrior's down with somebody on a little break right now.
Warrior. So, I love that game.
It's a very cool game. There was somebody working on the two joystick version.
Aren't they all two joystick versions? Or?
Well, no. So, sorry, two joystick per player.
Oh. Yeah. So you can
a battle with one and you move with the other.
Interesting. Okay.
That would be.
So, I can't remember
not,
what I.
That
what,
would not be Warrior then. That would be Warrior 2.
Oh.
Well, so there was some talk about, and I don't know the history, so I won't say that this is fact, but my understanding from what I've been told is that the original machine was supposed to have two joysticks. And it got to a cost issue. And so they cut back and went with the button on the top that changed the mode of what the joystick was doing. But that the original intent was to have two joysticks. So it might be Warrior 3/4.
Yeah, it is weird because when you push the button, then you're kind of changing your joystick to be the other joystick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How hard would Robotron be if you played it like that? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. Although now I want to play Robotron.
Yeah, and I still don't own a Robotron.
I don't have one here. I gotta decide what game should I play tonight. My Cosmic Cruiser went down. That was very depressing.
Oh, I love that game.
I gotta go figure that out. It's probably a power supply issue.
I hope so.
Always a power supply issue.
I called Arcade Shop because I want a Berserk J-Rock board and the power supply adapter. And he was so cool. He's like, I'll put you on the list and I'll call you when they show up.
Nice.
That's cool.
I didn't know that was an option.
Steve Gregory's a good guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, he said, so you haven't gotten the call yet. I mean, I do like Steve. I'm not going to badmouth Steve, but he just said, I put you on the list. I mean.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
You think he's the greatest guy? He wins. He never has to call you. He's already accomplished it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's going to sell it with me or without me. So.
Yeah. So I have a Frenzy board, two J-Rock boards, and two Milstar boards that I like bought years ago. And never got around to finishing off the projects with them.
Oh.
I'm like half debating now. Like,
again, like typing in your PayPal right now.
I bought a Bubbles too.
Oh.
A Bubbles also. And the Bubbles has a J-Rock board in it. I got the Bubbles cabinet with the blue joystick for $800 with a J-Rock.
Oh.
And like, you know, 2 years ago, that would have been like, oh, it's got a J-Rock, not the original boards. Now I'm like, shit, I could sell that J-Rock for like $500.
Yes.
Go out and buy a Bubbles board set.
But why would you do that?
Hey, money.
Yo, Eddie, what I would love to do is, I am trying to get one of these guys doing the Vector projects. Yo, Eddie just commented about playing Donkey Kong with a Star Wars yoke. I want to play Tac Scan in a Star Wars cockpit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I so badly want to play that.
I could see that.
Robotron with an LS-20.
I want to play Popeye in a Star Wars cockpit. And every time, like, a beer bottle hits me, like, the whole cabinet should shake.
You know, those guys up in White Bear Lake?
Oh, yeah? Would they marry their cousins? Go ahead.
Yeah. No, Gary.
Oh, right.
He has... they're not actually in White Bear Lake. They're in White Bear Lake Township or something, just outside of it. More
classier there.
Anyway, they were selling a Donkey Kong. Well, not a Donkey Kong. They were selling a barrel from like a barrel ride. So it looked like a big Donkey Kong barrel. And I thought that'd be great. You could have a Donkey Kong environment cabinet. Get inside it. Do, 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 do.
You'd be in the barrel? Would the barrel be spinning?
You'd be in the barrel. You just put the game in the barrel. You know, put an LCD in there, some stereo speakers.
That'd be a big barrel.
It's a big, huge barrel. Like, you'd have to cut it in half to get in your house.
So, I am going to respond to Mr. Peabody here, who is trying to antagonize Adam. But I'm going to actually stay on Adam's side. There's no way I would ever desecrate a Spy Hunter cockpit.
No.
That actually is my favorite game.
Did I miss something?
Yeah, Mr. Peabody wanted to play Exterminator cockpit version.
Yeah, when we respond to people in the chat, we should probably read what they said so that when people listen to this on a podcast, they're like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Peabody said, play Exterminator in a Spy Hunter cockpit.
Right.
All right, I'll edit that all into semblance of order for the podcast.
Effing way. And Mr. Peabody just said, I know that's what I said.
Well, yeah.
Can I keep going?
I think I'm going to start splitting the podcast into two episodes. So the first hour will be us, and the second hour will be the interview.
I mean, you should take a poll probably. I don't know how many people listen to it. Some of the podcasts I listen to, I like them self-contained. We're listening to Office Ladies. That's our favorite podcast right now.
Yeah. You're going to have to split it anyway. I like
the idea that you could jump straight to the interview, though.
Nobody's actually going to sit there and listen to 3 hours of podcasting.
People do it. They're like in their truck driving somewhere, typically.
I suppose. I don't drive that far. I drive nowhere right now.
Yeah, neither do I. But whenever, like, I just took the DeLorean to Dallas, podcasts all the way, 5 hours there, 5 hours back.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yo, Eddie says, pour another one. I will do a little quick... We're doing it.
Oh, God. We're doing it. We're going.
Oh, my God. We're on the move. We're on the move.
Let's check the ceiling tiles.
Long it takes for his internet to cut out.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can't go all the way in, but there it is.
Oh, it's nice.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
It's like we don't see that every week anyway. Why don't you go point us at the pool?
Want to go point you at the pool?
Yeah. I'm going to enlarge Brian for this segment.
Here we go.
Right when I have to go pee.
We're going. Do you want through the window, or you want the?
However you want to do it. There you go.
Oh, that's so cool, man.
That is cool.
Is that a sliding glass door, or is that a window?
That's just a window.
It's a big window.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And actually, I mean, I come home and I'm like depressed. Like Warlords needs to be fixed. I mean, this is just. What am I gonna do? So.
Yeah, I have to pee. I'll be right back.
I'm done. I'm good.
That was fun. Should we end the show now that Mark left?
We could. We could.
I don't. Let's get the tab up there.
I got the tab going. I've had it going for a while here.
I do have a teaser for the people that are still listening.
I think I'm going to try and turn this on. Yeah, go for it.
I should probably wait until Mark's back to this.
I'm going to...
Well, we ended the show already, Mark. That's it.
What? No. Did we?
Yeah.
No. We're still rolling.
Man, there was a line waiting for the bathroom. It was weird. I don't know. I was like, come on.
Your bathroom episodes have continued into season 4.
Hey, I try to hold everything in, but you know. There was some soup before this, so.
That's all right. I mean, you've seen me put the sleeve up 1,900 times, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The prostate's getting bigger.
You just got to go.
Soup's getting
what? Cold. No.
Oh, that's a great way to end this show.
Well.
Let's talk about the prostate.
I have to go up in there and check it out.
God, I hate getting old.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, if I come over, will you check it? Or wait, no.
Oh, you know what? I should probably tell people.
Have you seen the size of my hands?
Oh, no. Okay, back up.
Oh, God. We had a couple people join and a couple people leave right after the...
Oh, we're down to one listener. Okay.
Yeah. Well, for that one listener, actually, there's more than one listener. But for the people listening, I do have a little bit of a treat. A little bit of a pre... That's a secret.
Yeah.
1 month from now, in our January 7th episode, I have scheduled Suzanne Ciani to be on the show.
And that is awesome.
And for those of you who don't know who Suzanne Ciani is, she is the woman who did the voice of Xenon. She did a number of bumpers for Atari, for internal stuff as well as other stuff. We're going to ask her about that. She has been a pioneer in synthesizer work since the 70s. So we're going to have a lot to talk about with her. I think it's going to be a fun show.
Send in your questions.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to thank everybody for listening in to the Double R's. That's Arcade Radio.
Hey, don't forget to check us out, Old School Gamer Magazine. You can pick up a subscription over at oldschoolgamermagazine.com. Wow.
Check out our website, arcaderadio.com.
Nice. Call and leave comments. 612-548-GAME.
Enjoying the show? Pick up some Arcade Radio swag over at teespring.com/arcaderadio or consider supporting our Patreon campaign over at patreon.com/arcaderadio. There are a few multiple tiers starting at just $3 a month. Any bit helps in running the show.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel and get us to 400, damn it. So click that notification bell and you'll know when we're streaming live.
And if you like what you're hearing, drop a review on Anchor or iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to this thing, and say, hey, this thing was 5 stars. We loved it. It helps us. It helps us get to the top of the list.
Yes. We buys us shoes.
I'm sure we.
That's going to be it for tonight's show. I'm going to go play some Exterminator from the Arcade Radio team. We hope you had a blast, and we'll see you at the next episode.
Hi.
Well, hello.
Hey!
Subscribe to Arcade Radio or get shot.
Yeah!
Oh.
Let's change it.
My poor cat. Come on. Cat's trying to climb me like a tree. She doesn't have any claws. All right, we got to play one song before we're out. Yeah.
For another. I'm going to go grab a scotch.
Scotch.
All right, this is one of the tracks that I composed. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but here you go.
You can't do that.